Let's turn in the scriptures to Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2. In Ruth chapter 2, we'll be again reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. Ruth chapter 2. And we'll be beginning in verse 1. These are the words of our gracious and merciful God. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So that she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy father or mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Now, Lord, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, thou, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Those are God's words. And last Lord's Day, we made mention that Ruth's decision to cling to Naomi. Now, Naomi, who's an older widow with no sons to take care of her, would have a life that, as she lived, would be a great struggle. No men to provide and work for the household. And so Ruth would, with Naomi, have a great struggle in life as well. And remember that Naomi had said, who is going to marry her now at her old age? And we could ask the question, who's going to marry a Moabite woman who's a widow now in Israel? And here we see Ruth going out to pick some grain after those harvesting the field, as they had gone through already, and she's coming and picking that which is left over. And that's again shows us from other passages of Scripture in the Gospels, especially we see that, and in the Old Testament and the Pentateuch. That shows really how poor she was. And perhaps the idea was that someone might see her and offer her work, at least that year, that it might help provide for Naomi and Ruth. Of course, that might be one's hope, but that wouldn't be expected. One of Naomi's relatives was Boaz, verse 1, and Ruth was gleaning in his field. And what we have through verse 16 are the many instances where Boaz showed Ruth favor. In verse 7, you see how hard Ruth was working. She had gone about picking that which was left over from morning until evening. That's a long time to be doing that, searching the field for little grains of barley. And here we see a lesson that we learn later in the New Testament, that the poor that are willing to take pains and work diligently will be encouraged and provided for. And those who work will eat, and those who do not work will not eat. And Boaz blesses Ruth and calls her to not go out onto other fields of other owners, but to stay in his fields, and that she was welcome to do so. And he promised protection to her from harm. And this would continue, of course, her provision and Naomi's provision. And of course, Boaz knew this, knowing that Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, his kinsman. A wonderful grace from the Lord through Boaz, and that is summarized in verse 12. And then he blessed her by allowing her to sit at his table and eat with the rest of the harvesters, verse 14. Verse 16, he blesses her again, calling upon the harvesters to leave some back for her, like to leave a little extra for her, to provide for both her and Naomi. And you see perhaps the foreshadowing here, as Boaz points us to Christ, and we'll see more of that in the next chapter, next Lord's Day. As Christ calls us in to feed in the green pastures, that He brings us into, and to come and sit at His table, the King's table, and to feast in Him. There's a little foreshadowing of that here. And then the end of the chapter, Ruth comes back to Naomi with a little of what we would say about 6 gallons of barley. Naomi knows this is a lot for one day, also and asks who blessed her, and it, of course, was Boaz, as we know. And Naomi praises the Lord, who had not left His blessing from them, especially after what we heard in the first chapter. He may bring great bitterness, as He had, but He still blesses His people who seek after Him, as Naomi is, and Ruth is as well through clinging to Naomi. Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, we're thankful that You are God who provides for Your people, even that You provide for those amongst us who are poor. And Father, we're thankful for this, that at times you even use us to help provide for them, that you work in our hearts to desire to give to them, that remembering that we and all that we have are to be good stewards, and how that all that we have that you've provided for us, that we cannot take us unto death and the next life, but we can help those in need now, and we can use it for this earth now, and more specifically we can use it for the spread of the kingdom. And we pray that we would have that heart that desires to give to those in need, even as Christians, those who might not be as well off, desiring to give to those who are in need, just in some ways the same as we are, that they would hear the gospel, that we would be able to proclaim it to them, and all this for the spread of your kingdom on earth, that you would bring about through it the destruction of Satan's kingdom and the exaltation of Christ's kingdom. Father, we do praise you also that you have given us your Son, who is our King, who opens up and who is the gate, who is the door to the great green pastures that we are brought into by him to feed and to follow after our great and good shepherd. That you, even as we're about to sing, that you bring us beside the waters and comfort us. And not only that, you also bring us to in your Son, and we come to his table, invited to his table as we are next Lord's Day, as we foreshadow the marriage supper of the Lamb in eternity, of which we look forward to now, when there will be no more pain or sickness or tears. We're thankful that we are invited, many of us here are invited to the King's table next Lord's Day to celebrate his death, his sacrifice of his body and blood shed for us, in which he atones for our sin and covers us and cleanses us by his blood and pardons our sin freely. And Father, we ask that you would give us hearts that desire even now to come to his table, and that we would come prepared and not be one who comes who's not invited, or one who comes who's not in the proper garments, that you would then cast us out. We pray that that would not be any of us who do come. But you would call your children and your citizens of your kingdom to come to the table, and that we would be blessed in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he would feed us and nourish our souls as well as our bodies, and encourage us and strengthen us in faith. Father, this week we do pray that you would cause us, as we'll hear a little bit this evening as well, that you would cause us to examine our hearts, examine our sins, examine our knowledge of you, examine our faith before you, examine our obedience according to your law before your holy throne, and that you would turn us from our sins unto the Savior Jesus Christ, that we would have, that we would be forgiven and come prepared. And so, as you say, examine ourselves and thus come to eat and to drink. Our Father, we do also pray for those who in body are not feeling well today. You would strengthen them. We pray for Patty and Phil, as well as Levi and Boaz, and any others who may not be here that I'm not aware of, who are not feeling well. We pray that you would strengthen their bodies and grant them your strength today, especially this Lord's Day, in which all of them long to be in your presence, even hearing how one of our children, Levi, wanted to be here, and very sad that he could not come. Father, we pray that you would encourage them in Christ today and grant them your grace, even to our little children and those children who have grown up a little bit. So we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and grant them hearts to receive and seek after your face, and that you would grant them the gift of faith and work that faith in them, that they would be justified and made right in your sight, that you would sanctify them as you've made them children, that you would make them children and thus sanctify them and cleanse them of all their sin. And same we pray for all of us here. And if there are any here who don't know you, you would turn them to yourself now and this very day. For the kingdom of heaven is here, as we're going to hear about. And there is no time to delay in coming to you. There is no time to sit and contemplate. There is only time to come to you and seek your face. And so we pray that you would work your Spirit and the Word in them and on all of us. And you would bring about fruit, meat for repentance, and for your honor and glory. We do praise you for the presbytery meeting that we had. We're thankful for what you're doing in our presbytery. We're also thankful for the humble hearts that seem to be apparent at our meeting, and the repentance that we sought after and we continue to seek after now. We pray that you would make us faithful to our vows, all the elders who are present, to make us faithful to our vows. We pray for the members here, you would all of us, that you would make us faithful to pay our vows as we've made them, even the recent ones that we've committed to in the covenant of baptism, the parents, and then reminding ourselves of the vows that we've taken previously. Now, Father, grant us the grace and your Spirit to keep them, and forgive us where we fail. But make us to be faithful, a faithful people unto you, because you're a faithful God and a holy God. And we desire not to anger you or cause your wrath to come upon us or to cause your face to turn away from us. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn your face towards us, that you would grant us your Word, that you would grant us your Spirit, and grant us humble hearts and faithfulness to follow you in all our ways and all our steps, wherever we sit or stand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.